All right, welcome everybody. I'd like to call to order the August 17th, 2023 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Here. And if you'd all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I would now accept a motion to adopt tonight's agenda, or approve.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. I don't believe we have any public participation tonight. Okay. Then we'll move right on to our reports. Welcome, Mr. Cox. Haven't seen you for a couple months, so it's good to have you back here. Thank you for sending. Sure. Yep. Just push that, the one button to turn on the red light.
Okay. Am I live? All right, let me see if I can do this without my glasses. So High Point, so just like Marysville, they're getting the school year kicked off. We actually have our board meeting is next Wednesday, but I do have some information I wanted to share with you all tonight. The biggest thing I wanted to share, so we talked about this before, oversubscribed programs. High Point is currently beyond their capacity for taking students. So I included in my report to you, I sent you the written today, what that looks like. And as you'll see in there, primarily it's cosmetology, spa technologies, and welding and fabrication are really where they're oversubscribed. It's not an issue of space at the building. That's not the issue. The building is currently at 69% of capacity for on-campus programs. The issue is the same issue everyone's having. It's finding people to teach the students. The goal for this year had been to be at 79% of capacity, but unfortunately, again, with some of the openings they had to make a decision on whether they could do some expansion, and so they had to pull back on that. If things go as planned over the next 3 years, the intent is to increase the capacity to 85%, and if they are able to do that, that would gobble up the majority of those oversubscribed programs. Obviously, they're not going to expand every program. If you look like HVAC is oversubscribed by two students currently, well, if that trend continues, it would not justify another instructor, but certainly with those top three, you could bring in another instructor. It's just a matter of finding those folks. So it's a combination of relooking at hiring packages and hiring practices, as well as continuing with looking for partnerships, such as what they have with Honda here at the Marysville Early College High School. So that's a little bit on being oversubscribed. I did, while I was at it, I included, so High Point has what they call Vision 2030, which is their long-term plan. And so I included a couple of other updates as far as how they're doing against that plan. If you'll look, test scores, they did meet their goal for this past school year. Increased their test scores from 78 to 82%, which was at goal. Industry credentials, that's another one of their goals, which they did meet. 1,342 this past school year. They want to increase that to 1,410 this next school year. Few updates on hiring. So Laura Atwood is now at ECHS, and she is part of the Allied Health, the Allied Health discipline as an instructor, so that's great news. New partnerships, so engineering again has been one of the areas that's been a challenge to find good instructors. So there is a new partnership in place with AGC Beltech as well as with Clark State Community College, and what that's going to allow them to do is AGC Beltech will take on instructing the freshmen, or not, shouldn't say freshmen, the incoming juniors this year that are attending High Point, and then the Clark State instructor or professor will take on the seniors. What's exciting about that for them is they will be able to leave this school year with 13 college credits. So it's really, if that partnership continues, that's a really great partnership. And so hopefully more of those type of partnerships evolve, and I think that would go a long way to solving some of the challenges. That's really what I've got for tonight. So I hopefully after next week's meeting, I'll have some more things to share. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, Steve, I was wondering,
Do you happen to have a feel for how many Marysville students are impacted on the overflow?
I do not have it broken down by school, but I could get that information, I'm sure.
Okay.
I would guess that it's over 50%, just based on the size of Marysville's, with Marysville's enrollment versus the other schools, but I don't know that for sure. But okay. I can't get that for you.
All right, yeah. Because I know we try to make sure kids always have the opportunities that they're asking for, and
yep.
And if they can't get into the High Point program, hopefully they were able to find a program locally that will allow them to acquire some of
yep.
the skills they want. So thank you very much.
Yep, sure.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all very much.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate that, and I'm very excited about how they've been reaching out to industry professionals to help teach those classes. I think that's a win-win for everyone. So thank you, Steve. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And keep us posted on when they're having an open house, because since the renovations are all complete now, I've heard that it looks fabulous.
Yeah, so yes, absolutely. I will let you know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Superintendent's report.
All right. I'll start with staffing update. We have 7 unfilled positions to start the school year. It's 1 Creekview custodian, 1 Mill Valley clinic aide, transportation mechanic, which is just being posted for retirement, 1 bus aide, and 3 bus drivers. We've been pretty clear in our communication about our, what I would call, transportation kind of crisis right now. We do not have any subs on our sub list. We've had to pull them into positions. Both of our mechanics are also driving every day. So it's all hands on deck to try to kind of get through that. I'll talk about that a little later as well. At this point, we did not fill 32 positions as a result of our reduction in contingency plan, and we're still sitting at the $2.4 million in savings with the combined staffing shifts, supplementals, and field trips that have been put into place. And that's been pretty stable now that we've started. Understand we still have those other positions I told you are not in that equation yet. Transportation, right now we're doing 25 regular routes and 4 special ed routes. We have no subs available. Both mechanics are driving. Last year, to kind of frame it up for you, we ran on a regular basis 32 regular routes. So it is kind of a significant shift. We do have a new GPS system on our buses, but our entire staff in the transportation department is new in the office. So they haven't been trained yet. So we have a little lag time till we can get that up and running as well, so that parents could actually track the bus themselves. We just need a little bit more time to get them trained. So enrollment-wise, it's been busy in the enrollment office this week, to say the least. It's been a very steady flow of parents enrolling their students. So right now it's taking about 1 to 2 weeks to really get all the paperwork in and get kids from that point to a seat in the classroom because of the volume. Right now we have 2 buildings that are in overflow status. So Northwood 4th grade has 3 students currently being overflowed. And Edgewood is an overflow status in kindergarten, but no one's being overflowed. They're at the cap. We have other buildings that are watch buildings. We've kind of talked about these before. Mill Valley, 3rd and 4th grade. Navin, 2nd and 3rd grade. And Raymond's, 4th grade. Just to kind of let you know, we've had nearly 300 students engage in the enrollment process from June to today. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we are. Kindergarten is up from last year this time. It was 401 students. This year we have 428, so about one whole section. construction update. Edgewood, we have final occupancy. I know I sent that to you a couple weeks ago. Classrooms are operational. There's a fence that's being installed across the back of the parking lot. We have punch list items to complete, but all in all, it's in a position where we were able to have kids in the school the past couple days. At Chestnut, the rooftop HVAC unit was installed, and now they're starting to work on final ductwork. Painting has started. Parking lot improvements are complete. And there's a lift that's still delayed that goes in the boardroom on that side room. But we hope to start staging that room probably in the next couple weeks once transportation slows down. We've had a great start to school Monday. We had convocation. Several of you were able to join us. Early College High School won the competition between the buildings and received the first Monarch Pride trophy. So I'm sure that everyone will be interested in competing for that next year. But we've received lots of positive feedback, and I think it was a great start for all staff to come back. Open houses have been absolutely packed. If you've had the opportunity to drive by an elementary school during that time this week. As a reminder, first day for all K-12 students, August 21st, and pre-K comes in August 22nd. I also wanted to give you a heads up, September 12th at MHS, and we're getting ready to do a press release at 6 o'clock. Mark's been working with the Department of Homeland Security, and they're going to be doing a presentation for our parents and community on prevention, preventing targeted violence, and how to be proactive about mass casualty events in your community. So we're pretty excited to host that. And that'll be, again, September 12th at Marysville High School at 6 o'clock. That's it for me.
Is that program, it's just for high school parents, for the community, or?
It'll be an entire community. It'll be open.
Okay, great.
We'll do a press release and send out information as well. Again, the details were just firmed up today.
Gotcha. Any questions, Diane?
Do we know who the speaker is going to be for that event?
I do not have that name.
Okay, I was just curious. And it's for the entire community again, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to shout out to everybody, and mainly transportation. I mean, that I just can't even imagine trying to figure that out with a limited staff, no subs, additional students, routes, all that kind of stuff. So just encouraging parents to be patient. I'm sure it takes a while to figure out who all is going to be riding. And I know on our website we do have a ride share page. If there are parents who are available and interested in helping carpool, I did see one name on there a couple days ago. So, you know, maybe as time goes on, there will be parents that are willing to throw their names out there, and their friends, neighbors can see it and take advantage of having a, you know, carpooling that way.
We did receive 15 inquiries about positions.
Yeah.
Only about 5 had followed through, so we're continuing to push that avenue as well. But there is right. Training time involved, and so, you know, we've also put out calls to local businesses mm-hmm. who may have part-time employees that could come and get their bus certificate, so we're working that angle as well. Everyone is experiencing the same issue.
Exactly, yep, a lot of competition there. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, Diane, I know we asked parents to opt out of busing, and did we kind of reach, and there had to have been a target that we were looking for in terms of reducing ridership. Did we come close to that target, or?
We did not come close to that target. we needed about 2,300 people to make a choice, and I think at that time when we did the survey, we received approximately 400 responses. Mm-hmm. Now, we also know that sometimes people just don't respond or their kids in high school and drives and they're like, that doesn't apply to me, but we still have to count on them taking a seat in a bus. Mm-hmm. That's why this week is really that really the next 2 weeks are really important to see who actually is a writer and who is not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
I just had a question about transportation. What is like the board's responsibility to like be mindful? I've read in the last 5-10 years, read districts are in trouble for transportation. I guess what, as a board member, should we be kind of keeping our eyes open or ears open for as far as like what's the district's responsibility in making sure that we are not in trouble by the state?
So we have a plan. Basically, here's kind of what I've already spelled out before. So if we get into a position where we don't have a route covered, a bus driver will drop off their, let's pretend it's Mill Valley. They will drop off Mill Valley and go back out and pick the next route that's waiting up. And they'll receive a phone call from our emergency crisis line that specific to that route, that your child's bus is however far behind, another bus driver is on their way. So from that standpoint, you know, from, I guess, a liability, we kind of have a tiered plan to address. It's not, we're going to make sure everyone gets to school. Now, if half of our driving staff comes out, then it would be a different situation and may result in a calamity day.
Thank you. All right, Todd, treasurer's report.
Okay. I'm going to give a brief presentation on our permanent improvement fund and the permanent improvement forecast. Do you guys have, are you able to see that? If not, you can strain your neck and look behind you. Okay. So the first slide is a summary of our revenue for fiscal year 23. So we had a total of $6.3 million received last fiscal year. Largest number in there is the real estate tax revenues generated from our millage. So that was around $3.7 million, which was up a little bit compared to the prior year. Public utility personal property tax was $790,000. Then homestead and rollback, $243,000. Other revenue was $49,000. That is the stadium pledges that we're still receiving, and those will continue to be received. And then the orange column there, about 25%, that is our TIF revenue, $1.5 million. That was actually up around $390,000 compared to the prior year. Most of those numbers in there are pretty steady. I'd say the TIF revenue line is the one that kind of has the most volatility. We've seen years where it actually went down. I would say that's not common. Usually it's usually pretty steady or increasing. This is definitely the largest increase that we've seen that I can remember. I'd have to look back. So then in my projections, I usually assume just slight increases. I don't usually assume that we're going to see another huge jump like that. The next slide looks at fiscal year 23 expenditures. So we had $5.71 million in expenditures. So you're seeing revenues did exceed expenditures for fiscal 23. So that did add to our ending cash balance. The largest expenditure there in the dark green, $2.4 million. That's the renovation project for the building next to Edgewood, the old central office, and the new central office, which was East Elementary. So as you can see there, that's about half. The project is, you know, more than half done, but from an expenditure standpoint, we've spent about half of the money that we will be spending. Some of those other categories, some of the highlights, other, that's $250,000. The biggest thing in there, one, is our county auditor real estate tax collection fees go in there, as well as our copier and our like alarm surveillance for safety. Transportation, the light green there, $521,000. That's actually the buses that were from the prior year. So the buses that you approved earlier in fiscal 23, those actually haven't been received yet, so we haven't paid for those yet. So that's actually four buses that were purchased prior. There's actually kind of a statewide, or I'm not sure how wide of a thing it is, but there's a, just like with so many things right now, for some reason, there's a holdup in getting buses. I guess it's as good a time as any for that to happen, because we don't have any drivers to drive the buses anyway. So that's okay for now, I guess. The next line there, maintenance, $623,000. That's kind of a hodgepodge of all the items that fall under the maintenance category, such as flooring, roofing, general mechanicals. Some of the biggest items in there for fiscal 23, there was quite a bit of HVAC work, whether it be boilers or air conditioning. The roof at East Elementary, that was about $130,000. You also see around Bunsold, there was a lot of, some of the stucco was starting to deteriorate. So instead of, you know, putting the money into fixing stucco that would then deteriorate again, we went with a metal paneling around the, near the top of the roof, which will have a much longer shelf life. So that was another project as well that fell under there. Technology, that's $530,000, replacement equipment, replacement Chromebooks for our one-to-one computer programs. Curriculum, $536,000. One of the big items with curriculum of the cycle was social studies for that year. Small amount on athletics, $48,000. Asphalt, $158,000. That was mainly just minor repairs throughout the district. There was no major, you know, one big project. And then the last one there in the brown is loan. It's listed as loan repay, $600,000. So two different things to mention there. One is obviously the loan repayment for the stadium project. And as I've mentioned in the past, we could pay that off early. But right now, our interest rate on that loan is around 3%, whereas we're actually receiving 5%, actually closer to 5.5% now, of interest revenue. So we're going to hold off on paying that off until the interest rates flip. So we're kind of, you know, making money on not paying it off at this time. But of that loan repay, there's also a chunk of about $148,000 that this year actually was, or in fiscal 23 was the last, that is paid off now. So that is some old loans that were used for the central office when it was built, and the transportation / receiving center building. So those are actually finally fully paid off in fiscal 23, so I'm glad to see those gone. Okay, the next slide, looking ahead a little bit, some of the fiscal 24 projects. And the PI forecast, the PI fund is a little funky when it comes to timing, because you've got so many things that that start in the summer. So they may start in a previous summer, get paid for in the next summer. You look at the school buses, you know, those were ordered, I can't even remember when we did that, quite some time ago, and they're not going to be paid off until sometime this year. So you'll see sometimes the projects cross over fiscal years. Some of the biggest ones that we're looking at for fiscal 24, we'll be spending a little more on asphalt this year than we did last. So some big projects with the Bunsold parking lot. One that was already done was the Chestnut realignment, where that the entrance into the central office now aligns with 7th Street, which was kind of a safety issue. And also some good news there, when the bids went out for asphalt, there was an allowance built in to where if there was enough funding in the budget, because based on how the prices came in, there were some projects that need done at the high school. So those actually, the bids came in low enough to allow for the high school projects to be added as well. So the just small areas, but significant repairs that needed done. The MHS band and wrestling room roof. This was kind of a good and bad. I mean, obviously, it's not good that there was a storm that came through and tore that up, and you know, obviously created some inconvenience. But I guess the good news from a financial standpoint was that actually was on our list to do. So since it was going to be done anyway, now we're going to be able to do it with insurance proceeds to cover most, if not all, of the project. So that was some good news from a financial standpoint. I already mentioned those panels for Bunsold. As usual, a lot of HVAC boiler work and some fire alarm panels. The tennis court resurfacing. And one I forgot to put on there was the Raymond Playground. So that's actually, I think it's being torn down at this as we speak, or it may already be torn down. I know we were right around, it was being worked on. And then as with everything, there's a little bit of delay in getting it, but they're hoping to get that reinstalled as soon as possible. My understanding is there's actually another area, so there's still an open playground area, but the one that was being torn down just became somewhat of a safety issue. So that should be, they're going to be reinstalling as soon as possible. So then looking ahead, ending cash balance, we definitely ran a little tight this year and last year, but we're looking to have a little stronger ending cash balance this year for fiscal 24. And again, I would point out, you know, you see the growing cash balance there. I would note that the PI forecast is a little more volatile than, for instance, the five-year forecast, because some of those expenditure items sometimes are unanticipated items, or, you know, there may be some, you know, from a safety standpoint, something that we just decide that we need to do that could really, you know, take a hunk out of there. But based on current assumptions, we're looking to have a pretty strong cash balance going forward. And then finally, I did, to give you a little information about the bond fund, added a slide about that. So our bond fund is currently collecting at 5.85 mils. Bond millage is a little different than the PI millage or the general fund millage, because House Bill 920 doesn't apply. So what that means is if we're collecting at 5.85 mils and property values go up significantly, well, that means we get more revenue. The millage doesn't automatically decrease. But the way it does decrease is the county auditor takes a look at our cash balance, also compares to our debt amortization schedule, what do we owe each year, and if our balance grows too high, then she'll actually decrease the millage. So we have seen that number decrease significantly over the last several years. At one point, we were over 8 mils, and that's dropped down to 5.85. I don't anticipate that it'll go down probably in the next couple years, but as we look at the idea of a no new millage bond issue or a no new millage levy of some sort, you know, I don't think that 5.85 will probably be there all the way, but it shouldn't go down too much. So for fiscal 23, we collected $7.94 million of revenue. We had expenditures of $7.91 million, so pretty much even. And then there below, I showed our remaining debt payments. So this is actually the remaining debt that we owe, period. So you can see there, 2029. We pay debt twice a year, so we make a payment around June and then another payment in December. So in those 2029 numbers there, there would be a payment made in December of 2029, and at that point we would be completely debt-free and our bonds would be fully paid off. So that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you. I know several board members. Oops. Have asked for some of that information, so appreciate all that info. I'm sure there are some questions or comments.
This is a question that I've asked before, but the permanent improvement fund is showing that we're going to have an extra $2 million, hopefully at the end of this year, assuming nothing big shows up, about that same amount next year, and then it is going to move up to six and so forth. Mm-hmm. Can any of those funds be used for operations?
Now, once revenue hits the PI fund, it has to stay in the PI fund, and it's used for those various categories that we talked about in the expenditure list.
Thank you.
What's interest on the bonds?
It varies by year. So when we sell bonds, they're spread out. That's how you get that steady payback, where it's a little that $7.9 million per year. I would say on average we're probably around 3%, but it's going to vary a little bit year by year.
And we have, just for you, I mean, we've refinanced, I don't know how many times since you've been here, but
right.
several times. So.
Okay, and thank you for doing the bond thing. I know I've been nagging you, I apologize. But just again, bond money is only for the brick and mortar buildings in the school district. So this is bond fund money can only be used basically as a mortgage, correct?
Yeah, it's for debt payments only.
Okay.
And if there's, you know, money left over, which that's where the county auditor will come in and we will, you know, have those discussions as we get towards the end. If there's going to be a new building needed at that point, that's where the leftover money could go towards that. Otherwise, then we'll just have to make sure there isn't a leftover money, because it can't be used for, you know, we can't just take it and move it over and use it for something else.
Okay. My second question has to do with slide 2, the revenue pie chart, and it's in regards to TIFs. There's been a ton of discussion in the communities about TIF, so could you take a minute and explain a little bit more where this TIF revenue is coming from?
Yeah, so there are a lot of TIFs, but in general, you've got the two categories. You've got commercial TIFs and you've got residential TIFs. So with the residential TIFs, there's 8 or 9 TIF areas, such as Mill Valley, Adena Point. How'd you know that was the one I was trying to think of? So you have those areas that are the taxes that are being generated in those residential TIF areas. Instead of those going to the school, they go to a TIF fund. That money is then given to the city, and that money then, instead of the full amount coming to the school, about 35% of what we would have received gets given to us from the city to the school in the form of a TIF payment. And then the same thing with commercial areas such as Coleman's Crossing. We also get revenue from them as well. Now off the top of my head, I can't remember the percentage. It's a little higher than the residential. I think it's around 40-some percent that we receive.
So when a TIF expires, where does that appear on our spreadsheet then?
So when a TIF expires, which will be a while, the valuation, or so right now, the TIF properties, their valuation does not show up in our values. So like, you know, for instance, you know, everybody here lives here, so what our home value is, that shows up and is part of our $1 billion valuation that's district-wide of residential, agricultural, and commercial. But right now, the properties at Coleman's Crossing, the houses at Mill Valley, they're not part of that $1 billion valuation. They're separate because it's a TIF. Now, when those TIFs expire, we'll have a lump sum, a large amount of valuation that will now go onto what's called our tax duplicate. And so then we will then begin receiving basically the real estate taxes that we would have received on those properties if there were no TIF in place. So we stand to, you know, again, unfortunately, it's quite a ways from now, but we would stand to see a nice increase in revenues when those do expire.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for the presentation. I do have a couple questions. I know we've kind of taken a look back at fiscal year 23 to see what the revenues were and the expenditures. This is my second year, my second presentation. So one question I always have wondered is, why do we look backwards and not forwards to what's the budget look like for fiscal year 24 and kind of displayed in the same manner as slide 2, slide 3. So we have a kind of idea of how we're going to spend the money in this next year. Can you explain, I guess, is it the cash flow? Why do we look backwards at this point in time and not forward for this current year?
Well, this presentation is exactly that. It's an overview of what we've done in the in the PI forecast or with our PI revenue. With the fiscal 24 slide there, you get a little general idea of some of the large projects that are coming up with our permanent improvement funds. And then I did send to the board the entire PI forecast where you can look line by line. You could look at what's, you know, happening next year or 10 years out. Now, those are general because the PI forecast is not as detailed as, for instance, the general fund's five-year forecast. So we create a more of a pot of money for each of those categories, whether it be asphalt or roofing or those kinds of things, because we don't know for sure when is a roof going to need replaced or when is, you know, a certain flooring going to need replaced. We have a general idea of what a shelf life is, but in essence, the PI forecast is really more creating a pot of money so that we're ready when those anticipated things need done. But at the same time, we've got the flexibility with the money that, well, if that flooring looks pretty good and we can make it another 2 years, we won't mess with it. But, oh, well, we'd had a storm and it tore our roof off. This wasn't planned, but now we've got the money to do it. So I don't think you're going to see, you know, in certain areas you might be able to see more specific things that are planned, but in other areas it's more of a year by year when it comes to what, you know, the very specific projects that would be done.
Yeah, I think just speaking for me and some of the things I've heard from community is, I guess it's, I understand the idea of a 20-year forecast and forecasting, but I also believe that we need to have a permanent improvement budget that the board adopts for fiscal year 24, and we should have more details. Even the projects that are listed, we have no financial. I mean, I think there's some anticipated financials, but it's not comprehensive as the entire PI fund. For instance, I can assume that we're going to probably purchase some buses or vans, but there's no budget for me to review for the PI fund. And so my recommendation or my advice is that I think annually we should look at the offer to be presented with a budget for the PI fund for what projects that we're going to, how are we going to spend PI fund for fiscal year 24, and then have time to have it public and then have time to adopt it and have conversations about it as a board. That's just my two cents. That's what people are kind of asking. It may not be directly with PI or operating, but they want to see a budget, and we have forecasts, but we don't have annual budgets. I know in June we adopt the appropriations. Those are high level, and it's a one pager of high level numbers. But what makes up those numbers? And for instance, you know, PI funds roughly $6 million. Looking at backwards is good because we can say, hey, were we on track? Were we off track? Did we make adjustments throughout the year? How did it compare to our forecast? But I also think that we need to look forward, and I think even last year I kind of mentioned this as well. And so as a board, we should probably, in my view, this is my only advice, is just to maybe take a look at how can we adopt a budget? Because even the document you sent, it's recommended budget, forecasted budget. And so how do we create a budget book for the PI fund, review it, and then adopt that as a board on an annual basis is my recommendation that we should do. So thank you for the presentation as well.
Yeah, Todd. Excuse me. On the FY24 projects, the parking lot here, Chestnut, and MHS, and the other things, how many of those were contracts negotiated in 23?
So there's definitely timing issues when it comes to these things. So for instance, like the buses, you know, we're not just going to go buy a bus. The board has to approve us, you know, buying school buses, you know, or the parking lot projects. Those things end up getting approved because by law we have to bid those projects out. So all of those projects would have been bid out, and then those bids get board approved.
And I think Jermaine, you were kind of you referred to some of this because we got that forecasted budgets and recommended budgets in here as kind of that detailed backup. So, I think it's certainly, you know, maybe sit, go in and talk to Todd, maybe get a couple of us want to get a better understanding, or even talk to some other districts too, because it might just be one of those things where it is so challenging because of the timing of doing different things. And you know, if you look at, I mean, if you look at the detailed forecast that we've got in here, it's got quite a few different line items in there. And if you compare there was the original 20-year forecast tab in there, and then this updated one, and there's some pretty big variances in there. You know, so again, there's a lot of, like, I guess just like what Todd was saying, it's much more difficult to come up with some definite numbers because of the volatility and so many unknowns out there. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but just wanting to have something a little bit more official.
If I was speaking for Jermaine only, well, Jermaine's a new board member, doesn't know, but I'm hearing from people saying, where's the budget? Where's the detail of how we're going to spend money? And what Todd did share is not, there are projects, it's a list of projects, but it is not a complete budget for the fiscal year 24. Transportation is not listed on there. So we don't, like, that's, yes, we can look at forecast, but if we're trying to move the needle in the community, which that's what we've all said, we need to maybe do some things a little bit differently. And that, my recommendation to what do we do differently is to publish. I know everyone can call you, Todd, but they need to see the budget. What's the PI fund budget for fiscal year 24? They need to go see it. And yes, we will make a, budgets do change. We will come in, vote, and amend the budget. That happens. But there needs to be, for the year, what are we going to do this year is very predictable because of the timing of bids. It is predictable. It is manageable. What are we going to do in the next 5 years? Not so that there's more, you know, volatility in that. So I'm trying to help here. And I really think that even with our operating fund, but we're not talking about that, but with the PI fund, it's, and there are districts, I have done some research, and I do find budget books by other districts. And so I'm not completely out on the island here. I am looking, I don't try to spend hours researching what other districts do, but I have seen some examples from other districts that they do have a budget books and things that they can share. It might be 90 pages, and people, you can ask, well, is someone gonna read a 90-page document? But when it comes to levy time, people start digging and start looking for stuff. And so.
Okay, great, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Nope. Okay, thank you, Todd.
Yep.
For my report, we did have our monthly community coffee this past Sunday, and I know we're working on getting dates for September, October, and November on our website. If we stick with the Sunday before our meetings, the only thing that jumped out at me was like it'd be September 17th, October 15th, November 12th. I didn't know if we needed to double check that date just because sometimes there are Veterans Day programs sometimes on that Sunday. So maybe just touch base with somebody. I don't know if it's like the voices in the stone or something.
I'm on the committee.
Yeah, you're on that committee. So maybe just double check November 12th to see if there's anything going on that day.
We're going to do it on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
2 p.m.
Okay, great. Any comments? Anybody want to share any comments about?
The
11th. Gotcha. Okay. Anyone want to share any comments about the coffee?
We had a really nice, lively coffee. We had quite a number of people come, and almost everyone came with a different topic that they wanted to talk about. So there was some discussion about the relationship between the school library system and the public library system, and the president of the library was there to kind of explain some difference, even answered some questions that I actually had about the setup of that. We had people that were coming to volunteer that are interested in maybe running personal finance classes as a volunteer, either for high school students or for parents of students. So I thought that was wonderful. We had a brand new student who's new to Marysville. She's starting at Bunsold, probably today. And she had questions about, you know, what she needed to bring and just questions about the district in general. So that was a great interaction we had. We had people talk about housing developments and growth in the community. They wanted to talk about the school system and how the growth is impacting the school systems and class sizes. So Bill and I did the coffee. It was actually a great discussion. So again, when people meet together face to face, I think a lot more communication can happen than over an email or even a phone call, or especially over social media. So I think these community coffees have built kind of a good reputation of being to have some open discussion, and our crowd kind of showed that off this week.
Great. I love the variety of things, topics. So yeah, go ahead, Bill.
We're going to have to petition the library for some more chairs, though.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see, and I know the past couple of months we've talked about our end of year evaluations that we've done of Mr. Johnston, Ms. Allen, and now we need to do our own. So based on the responses that I got from my text today, it sounds like we're going to be meeting on August 30th at 4:30. And I'll send more details next week. But one thing, along with our end of year evaluation, and the last topic I wanted to talk about is, I know since our last meeting, there was an editorial in the local paper, and it asked several questions about the levy and the district in general. And you know, I was on vacation. I touched base with everyone when I got back and let you know that Dick had indicated he was interested in drafting a letter to address some of those questions, and he has completed that letter. I had a chance to look it over yesterday. And I really would like to include a review of that letter during our August 30th special meeting. And I would look at that letter as being something from the board. So it's important that we're all together and have a chance to discuss and revise it if needed. And then once that letter is finalized, we can decide, you know, if we want to send it to the JT, the Union County Daily Digital, both of them. There's just a lot of really good information in that letter, and when I read it, it kind of reminded me when you used to work with mock trial, you know, kind of like laid out what are the questions and then what are the facts behind them to support your answers and everything. So anyways, I appreciate you doing that, and Mr. Smith will be sending that letter out tonight if he hasn't already done that, or tomorrow.
Yeah, I worked on this kind of on and off for about a week, trying to put some thoughts together. And I shared it with Sue from the standpoint that if she felt that it was something that we should at least talk about, that there might be a kind of a starting point for discussion. So. And whether we use this or don't use it, whatever, is up to the board, so.
Great, well, thank you again. And that's it for my report. Student Achievement Report, Ms. Savage.
So I don't have a lot to discuss. I'm just happy to be back to the start of the school year. And again, I'm going to really kind of try and concentrate on great things that are going on in our school district. I did go ahead and send the Helping Kids Succeed success newsletter to all the board members, so you have that for your review. I did want to kind of call out kind of a new tradition, the sunrise first day of school for the seniors. That looked like an awesome event. So there were lots of pictures posted on social media. All the high school seniors gathered at the stadium for breakfast and watched the sunrise together. It must have been pretty chilly because a lot of them were wrapped up in blankets, but it just seems like a really great tradition and helped build community spirit.
Thank you. That does sound like a really neat tradition to start. I appreciate that. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
There's not much in this because the legislature's on recess. I provided you with some information on a couple of things that I have done or that I'm working on. There are two things that I think I want to highlight. The first is that the governor announced a new teacher apprenticeship program, and I don't know that it's been fleshed out yet, but creating an opportunity. And one thing that I thought was important and might be a motivation for people to enter into the apprenticeship program is that it was noted in some of the material I got that the candidates participating would be eligible to apply for the Grow Your Own Teacher Scholarships that provide up to $7,500 a year for the participant. And I don't know the requirements or, you know, how that's structured or not, but it sounds interesting. And we have a shortage of teachers. We're having a hard time filling some of the teaching positions that we have. It sounds like we're in pretty good shape in terms of teachers, but we've got some other staff positions that we need to fill. But certainly having a broader group of candidates for teaching positions would certainly be a better thing for our school district. The other thing that I wanted to note, Representative Tracy Richardson has submitted House Bill 250 along with Representative Miranda, and I've gone into the bill and pulled out the sections that would be altered. The underlying portions would be added. There's one word that's stricken, and that would be removed. But something that she's presented that I think will probably see a lot of support in the state legislature. So, and that's my report.
Great, thank you. Any questions, Mr. Smith? Okay, thank you. Then we have our Safety and Drug Committee report, Mr. Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. The Union County Drug Free Coalition Advisory Board met this Tuesday or whenever, August 15th. And I also am on the Policy Committee. We met on July 17th. This week, there's a presenter from Best Communities based in Illinois in a county where Groundhog Day was filmed. That county is where she's from. She gave a pretty in-depth presentation on the impacts or effects of marijuana use among youth. But also some of the challenges that states who have legalized marijuana, recreational use of marijuana, what they're facing and some of the concerns and which way the statistics are going in those states. And one of the concerns, I'm not going to read everything on my report, but one of those concerns is the potency of the THC. Back in the day, before it was more accepting, it was ranging between 4 to 10%. And that, when I say back in the day, I mean my day, not anyone else's here, it was about 4 to 10%, but now they're seeing it as high as 90%, and which means most of the studies about it's safe, there's medical value, was basing those studies off of that 4 to 10, not when it goes higher. There is actually now some growing studies that are showing that those concentrates are 20% or higher will lead some to symptoms such as paranoia, high blood pressure, psychosis, like risk of a psychosis. And so why is this important? Why are we looking at all this information? We're looking at economic data, youth access. The reason why it's important is because this November, the voters are going to have something on their ballot, which is a state statute, not a constitutional amendment, but a state statute to legalize the use of recreational marijuana. It's to treat it as if it was like alcohol. So giving people power to grow their own, sell it, use it. And so that is going to be on the ballot. And the coalition is reviewing some options and making a statement and taking a position. There is the protect, there's the coalition that put the initiative on the ballot, which is the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. And then now there's a Protect Ohio Workers and Families Coalition. And some of those individuals or organizations are the Ohio Children's Hospital Association, Fraternal Order of Police, the County Prosecuting Attorneys Association. Those are just a few. And the association, that coalition is just now getting revved up. And so the Drug Free Coalition is probably going to take a stance, either an educational stance or a vote no stance. That's what we're debating right now. And I know typically we can draft resolutions to support and maybe send it to the Ohio Schools Board Association. So if there's any interest in that, the data that I'm seeing, maybe it's a bias, but it's going to impact our youth, especially because vape people aren't smoking in bongs as much as they're smoking vape pens, e-cigarettes, or edibles. And in Central Ohio, we've already seen at least two, one in Upper Arlington, one in the City of Columbus, where elementary-aged kids took edibles or passed them around, and then they had to go to the hospital. And so it's going to impact you know, our students if we increase access and recreational use. So that's my report. If anyone wants to make a statement, or we can work on that later, but just throwing that offer out there. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's really important. I'm glad that you brought that to this meeting. I'm glad you're on that coalition team. Our parents need to be aware of this. You know, it's one of those things where you just kind of go along your everyday business, and you may not have any idea that that THC level has gone up as much as it has. And so, and even if it didn't, just that the access, I think, right now, the gummies and all those kind of crazy things. So thank you very much. Any questions of Jermaine? Okay, thanks. All right, let's see. We're now to the point. I would accept a motion to approve draft minutes from our July 20th regular meeting and then July 21st and August 14th special meetings.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ferguson. Do you have any corrections, comments? None? Then take a roll call, please.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson? Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Fine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now for our Board of Education items. First item on here are some one and done policies. Normally we do two reads on policies, but two of these policies are simply to change the name of our Title IX coordinator. That used to be Thomas Holdren, and it is now going to be Scott Stackhouse, so those policies needed to be updated with that information. And then the other one is just some changes to student absences and excuses. And again, they're minor changes, I believe, based on legislation. So anyways, we would be approving them tonight on the first read. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ferguson.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments?
At the policy meeting, when these were brought up, these were pieces of information that needed to be changed, I felt, from the standpoint of notification to parents as to who to contact in the district or in the case of the absences, you know, be able to know ahead of time what situations they dealt with. Those that are up for a first read are not as time sensitive as these first three. So I appreciate the board considering them for a first read passage.
Thank you. And I know the absences also includes removing some of that COVID-19 related language in there. So that makes sense. Thank goodness. Any other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. And then the second item is just our first read on some different policies. Expense requirements, minutes, again, some things, records retention, not as timely or not as time sensitive. So if you see anything in there that you question, have questions about, feel free to reach out to Mr. Langhouse. Yeah, questions, comments?
I do have a question for tonight.
Sure.
The Records Commission, when has that, have we met this year? Or not we, but...
Yeah. It's Todd, Diane, and me.
This year, but we will meet, and it will just be me, Diane, and Sue.
Yeah.
And it's just a quick review of...
Documents that can be destroyed.
Sometimes it's not, because it depends on whether we are disposing of any records or not.
Okay. Is there a schedule that I can see? Like, what's the retention schedule, I guess, is something I'm just interested in?
Yeah, I can send you the records.
Is that, and that's public, too, for people to, okay.
Yep. And it was kind of, so when I was doing those presentations for the Central Region, and I went to Westerville, they had their Records Commission meeting right before their regular meeting. So it's just, and again, it was the same thing. It was the board present, and it took about 30 seconds. So, but yeah, that's a good question. All right, then, okay, moving on. I would accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Having a little competition tonight here. Any questions, comments about the treasurer items? Or Todd, go ahead.
Not much. I would note that the cash flow has been updated since July is the first year of fiscal 24, so you'll note there's no variances. That's been updated to match the five-year forecast. Then we'll update that again once we get to the October-November forecast. I would note, compared to the actual forecast we approved in May, that's the one big variance to the cash flow is that I did add the $3 million of anticipated new state funding. So that's really the big difference. Appropriations, a lot of our grant funding, the allocations finally came through, so we did do those, added those to the budget, and then also, excuse me, as a requirement annually that we have to do to appease the state auditor is the approval of our commercial paper revenues, so that's in there. I think the number was 100 and, was it 173,000, or let me see. I had that up. Yeah, about $174,000 for fiscal year 23. So pretty big number, significantly higher than what we received the previous year, which was, I think, only 20-some thousand dollars. So, yeah, interest revenue was very significant last year.
That's great. Any questions of Todd? Okay. I just also want to point out when you talked about some of those donations in there, I had asked you about the stadium donations and pledges and everything, mm-hmm. and really pretty impressive that, you know, you said basically we're ahead of schedule on those pledges.
Yeah, so. We're really on track. Mm-hmm. A lot of the pledges are fully paid off, and then mm-hmm. we've got some of the larger donors that mm-hmm. are still kind of on a payment schedule, and then there's someone in my office that does those invoices regularly.
Right. That's good. Great. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve paying Lauren Devine academic supplemental as a district staff development coach.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Byron?
Abstain. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the superintendent HR action items. There are no volunteers this month, so just the action items, HR.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any comments, Diane?
I would just recognize, welcome to Todd Amos for our new transportation director
mm-hmm.
Is on here. So otherwise, everything is pretty standard for beginning of the year.
Great. Any questions of Diane? I just want to also thank Lynette, her staff, for, I know it's been a crazy month. Mm-hmm. And I think they've done a great job, so really appreciate that. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Next we have, we're not going to be voting on this, but this is our hearing for the 2024-2025 draft school calendar. So I guess next month we would be voting on this, Ashley. So between now and next month, you know, encourage obviously ourselves to be looking at it with a fine-tooth comb, but encourage parents too in case there's something that, you know, jumps out as like, oh, we forgot about this or whatever. So please take some time to look at that. I know, oh, go ahead. You want to talk about it a little
bit? As a reminder, there is a parent committee and teacher committee that help us develop this and bring it forward. So we start with several versions,
options, I guess,
and kind of take priorities and shift numbers of days to make everything balanced. So same process as every year as well. So.
Sure. Question?
Yes. I think this is kind of Groundhog Day for me for this calendar thing, because I do think it's important. I know we have a committee, but since this is like a hearing, I think it's important when, like, personally, I think policies and things like this should be sent out, like a notice should be sent out to all of our parents or everyone who's going to be impacted so they have a chance to review it and before it's adopted. What kind of feedback you're going to get, I don't know. I can't predict that, but I think it's just fair to, this is the upcoming calendar. That way anyone can give comment. I know there's a committee that worked through it. I'm not trying to undo any work. It's just the approval process. I think it should include just a preview for the parents of students in our district and the teachers to all be able to look at it and see and weigh in if there are any significant comments that they want to provide.
I don't, like, Diane, do you see any issue with, like, sending an email out or something, just saying, hey, we had the hearing on the calendar and it'll be up for approval next month? I don't know. It's just thoughts. Think about that. Okay. The one thing I was thinking of is I think there is supposed to be that, what is it, when the sun goes over the moon, the eclipse or something. Isn't there going to be a full eclipse or something next year? And I know some people had said, you need to have.
It's accounted for on our calendar.
April 8th.
Okay.
It's accounted for.
Yep. Okay. Great. Okay. So, yep, no vote necessary on this. Our next item would be a motion to approve the superintendent other items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Want to highlight anything, Diane?
I think just the handbook policy changes to reflect name changes. There is the letter of certification from food service, bus stops. Obviously, we don't publish those, and a couple trips for show choir.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? All right. Roll call, please.
Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Mr. Cat.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Comments and questions from board members. Mr. Ferguson, I'm going to start on my right tonight. Go for it.
I do want to follow up with my previous comments about just the providing a budget process that we can review and the PI fund and even the operating fund. Again, I'm hearing that from people. Hey, they want to have us have better communication of our financial picture. I'm hearing that from multiple people. So I don't speak as germane, just the individual. I'm sharing what I'm hearing, and I think I'm trying to take that and convert it to offer good advice. I know we're going to look at a letter next week about a response to the editorial, and I think, you know, I've heard from zero people about it. So I just want everyone to keep that in mind, because when you hear from zero, and then you focus attention on something that no one's given feedback on to me, I can't say no one. I also say our actions is the statement. You know, Diane and Todd have both been given evaluations that are public, that are favorable, and they have our support. That's our actions. And so that's just something strategically, we need to respond to what people are bringing to us and prioritize that. That's my personal opinion. I'm still not in the back to school mode fully. My son started today. But I know it's fast. Summer went by quickly, but I'm looking forward to the adventure that this year will bring. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Savage.
Welcome back to school, everyone. I'm looking forward to a great year. I know there's going to be lots of challenges every day, but I'm asking for everyone's patience as we work through some of the issues, as there always is the first few weeks of school. And I'm excited that we have so many kids here, some all dressed up. They seem very excited. So welcome back to school.
Thank you. Mr. Keck.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot other than to say there were a tremendous number of things done to welcome kids back this year that were really neat. We participated in the convocation. The food was awesome. On my part, that would be the judgment call there. But also, as Nan mentioned, the opening day at the high school was quite a tradition. And the other thing that just hit me, just floored me, and I've been past it probably 20 times, is Raymond Elementary on their front yard, welcome back. And, the first time almost wrecked going through town, and I was under the speed limit. So, but it really, really looked nice and was that way, and I hope the kids appreciate the work that went into that. So,
thank you. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I appreciate all the hard work that transportation has done, and it's in the last couple of days has been a little bit like a tsunami of people showing up and looking for transportation, and my wife got involved in a line of cars today, and so I wish parents all the patience in the world in trying to get kids picked up safely, and I know the teachers are excited to get the year started and are looking forward to a great year. At the convocation, I had a chance to talk with quite a number of them, and they were all looking forward to getting in the classroom, getting with the kids, and being able to do what they do best. I want to thank Todd for the presentation on the PI fund that he did today. I know our people in our community have all sorts of questions about spending. I know that there's, all of the information is public. All of it is available. I hope that we find a way to get information to people so they can see what the situation is and learn from that. What else? Oh, I was really excited that we got occupancy at Edgewood. That was kind of a nail biter of a situation. I would inform anyone that might pay attention to what I'm saying right now, but just about every construction project that this district has ever been in ends up in a situation where school starts with not all the work done. I've been in that situation numerous times. There was, no carpet on the concrete. There were no walls at one point. We had four classrooms that were all in the same space, all working on different subjects at different levels of noise. I ended up in the upper part of the EHCH gym, trying to teach American government while a girls' freshman phys ed class was playing volleyball on the gym floor about 20 feet away. Construction the beginning of school. Historically, in our district and in other districts, has bumps. Some of them are bumps that teachers face, some of them administrators, some parents, and some students. So I encourage everybody just to take a deep breath and let the process kind of work its way through. And in about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have things much better under control. People will know where they're going and how to get there, and school will be fully in session. So thank you.
Thank you. Todd, any comments?
No.
Diane, any comments?
Just a reminder, Superintendent open office hours pick back up right after Labor Day on Mondays from 5 to 6:30. And I would just say we've had an amazing start. That also means our fall sports have already started. So wish all of our fall sports teams the best of luck headed into this year.
Great. Thank you. I just also wanted to let our board know that, you know, we had turned in nominees for our exemplary school employee and friend of public education for the OSBA Central Region, and those were both approved. So we'll be recognizing them at the September 20th Central Region Fall Conference, and then either at our September or October regular board meeting. We will also be recognizing our own Mr. Smith, who is going to be receiving the Aptitude Test Award again. That's part of the OSBA STAR program. So congratulations, Mr. Smith. I'm always excited for the new school year, and convocation is just a great opportunity to see people in a little bit more of a relaxed, informal setting. And one thing that stood out to me, and I didn't have a lot of time because I had a lot of grandma babysitting duties this week. Some babysitters weren't starting until today. I was in there briefly, but I happened to be able to see Mrs. Anderson with her dog, Odell. Odell is their newest teaching partner, was their newest teaching partner last year, and Odell was named after a longtime FFA teacher, Odell. I can't remember what's his last
name.
Odell Miller, thank you. So anyways, Mrs. Anderson has just done a fabulous job with Odell. He's an English Mastiff, so I don't know, he probably weighs 120, 130 right now. But Mrs. Anderson has also done a great job keeping him away from Mr. Keck, because when Mr. Keck was talking about the food here, he was ready to give Odell a hamburger. And she said, he's never had people food, and I'm going to keep him away from you, Bill. So I just wanted to shout out on that. It was great watching everybody have fun with the games, and I love that competition. That's always fun between the buildings. Also, our first grandchild is going to be attending the alternative kindergarten program this year. He's so excited, and I'm just really proud of our staff, our district, for all the opportunities that they offer our kids and our families. Also want to thank that transportation department. I just can't even imagine how challenging it has been. And then just wishing everybody a year filled with the joy of learning and developing memorable relationships, and go Monarchs. So with that, we do have an executive session at the end of our meeting, and for anybody watching, there's not going to be any action that takes place after the executive session other than to adjourn the meeting. So at this point, I would accept a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of ORC 121-22G number 4, preparing for conducting or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. We're in executive session at 7:20. Thank you.